Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Delaware Township Board of Supervisors meeting. I apologize for being a few minutes late. We did run over a bit in executive session. We started executive session at 6 p.m. We were talking about land and legal matters, but we have concluded, and we are ready to begin this meeting this evening. So we'll officially call to order our meeting of Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. I would ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Crispin. So a couple of housekeeping matters before we get started. As we do at every meeting, I'd like to point out for the record and for those in attendance that it is posted within the meeting room, but I want to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. It's important that the information the things that are said here are recorded properly, including by whom, who says it, right? We need to know who says it, so you have to identify yourself. That's why we don't let people talk over each other, because, of course, stenographer, be impossible for her or him to keep track of all the comments. So that I say that, number one. Number two, I'll remind the members of the board to make sure that we speak clearly into our microphones so that everybody in the room can actually hear us. Sometimes the acoustics are a little strange in this room, and it's not always easy for us to know whether or not the people at any one spot in this room is hearing us clearly. So we'll do our best to keep our voices up. And if you do get up and you speak at the microphone for any reason, at the podium, it should be on. Make sure that you do speak into the microphone, because while we can hear you when you're that close, what happens, sometimes people stand up at the podium, if the mic isn't on or they're turned and they're not speaking into the mic, everybody behind you cannot hear what you're saying. So that's pretty simple stuff. During the first item on our agenda is the visitor public comment session of the agenda. So we have two visitor public comment sessions, one now and one at the end of the meeting. You're free to speak at either or both. The rules for coming forward are simple, and they're really more like guidance, but we try to adhere to them. When you come up to the podium, please state your name, your first name, your last name, and your address. That's all information that gets recorded in the minutes. And second, try to keep your comments to about 3 minutes. We like, you know, there's plenty of items on our agenda that are business items that we need to get through this evening for the meeting. So while we encourage people to come forward and make comment and comment into the record, it's also got to be fairly concise and to the point. We allow 3 minutes to do that. And whether I'm chairing the meeting or someone else is, we'll keep time. And if you get close to that 3 minute mark, if you're not wrapping up, we will ask you to wrap up. You know, we'll be polite about it. We'll ask you to kind of get to the end of your point so that we can keep things moving. So, with that, this is the first opportunity for visitor or public comment. Anybody in the audience, anybody here, is welcome to come forward to the podium. Again, state your name, first name, last name, address, and then we'll give the floor to you. So.
My name is Philip Joris. I live at 58 Locust Avenue here in Hershey. While what I would like to address is not on the agenda this evening, I think because of something that recently occurred, it is apropos to the supervisors to hear. The question that I have is, how many of you have seen this sign on Governor Road? This sign says that this project, which is Governor Crossing, is being financed by the ACNB Bank. And then it gives the name of the person who's responsible. To the best of my knowledge, and perhaps I am wrong, this project has not been approved by the Board of Supervisors. So my question is, what do you think the people think when they see a sign like this and know that the project hasn't been approved? One thing that I found, I visited 85 homes before the last meeting on the Governor Crossing. Fortunately, I was able to talk to a number of people. People were not informed, partly because the information that would get to them to tell them about the meeting is found in places that they may not even look. Yes, it's in the Sun. Yes, it's on papers that are posted. At the Governor Crossing place, I saw one. Actually, I had to get down on my hands and knees and crawl up to it on Sand Hill Road in order to see what it said, because it's on 2 8.5 by 10 by 8 pieces of paper. And they may not read the Sun. Maybe some of these people don't even bother to do social media. So they were not really informed. And I think one of the real critical things about government and people is the aspect of dialogue. And there has been no dialogue with the community. The dialogue occurred between the parties who are involved in this project now. So I would like to say that I think, in addition to dialogue, I know that it's almost become cliche to hear it, but all of the requirements have been met, quote unquote. We're likely to hear that when this comes before the Board of Supervisors. I had the fortunate experience a week ago to be able to listen to two generals from the Detroit Arsenal in Warren, Michigan, talk about the acquisition of important fighting equipment. And one of the things that stood out to me in that commentary that they had was talking about this phrase, all the requirements have been met. And what they said was, we can go all through the project, and all of the requirements could have been met. But if the environment changes, we have to change the project. I live a couple blocks away from this Governor Crossing. I was here back in 2017, whatever it was. I call it BC before COVID. I spoke then. I organized people. I went around to their homes then and handed out information that told about the meeting so that people could come. I think that, the environment is changing. We're going to see it with the development of the West Hershey Project and other things. Driving on that road is going to be a nightmare. Getting from my house onto Maple Avenue and then turning onto Harpersville Road, some days it's just sit and sit and sit because people block the intersection. What is it going to be like when people are coming the other direction? Well, I'm just calling that to your attention. But I think this is ill-timed, really ill-timed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. George. I appreciate your comments.
My name is Jonathan Crisp. My address is 2865 Church Road. As I'm sure your solicitor has kept you informed, I did file a right-to-know request with the township for minutes of the Derry Township Transportation Committee specifically directed to, as Mr. Juris had asked, said about the Governor Crossing project. The request was denied for primarily two reasons. One is the claim that it's not a committee that they have to maintain records for, and because of that, they haven't maintained any records. Okay. I said to myself, well, yes and no, that makes sense, and it doesn't. I believe the Derry Township Transportation Committee was represented as being a staff meeting, and it's more than a staff meeting. You allow developers come to sit and make presentations. In fact, the developers from Lidlow Crossing came and made presentations to the Transportation Committee, because I have some emails that prove that. They allow other interested parties in the township to get notice of the hearings, attend, while the average person knows nothing about it. Now, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with my appeal on the right to know request. Assuming I lose, my option is maybe to file an action with the Dauphin County Court for declaratory judgment that this should be an open meeting. But I'm here to say, why should I have to do that? You talk about transparency. Transportation is one of the biggest issues in this township. Why not open this meeting up to the public? An advertised agenda, minutes. Let the people come, have an open mic, speak. Every time I'm ever here on an open mic night, or public comment rather, there's somebody talking about some traffic issue, whether it's Church Road or something else. They should be there at the Derry Township Transportation Committee. Two supervisors sit on that committee. It acts like an advisory committee. Why not treat it as one? Open it up, advertise it, have an agenda of minutes and public comment, and make it available to the public. That's my comment. Well, I'm going to reserve two more minutes under item C, depending upon what happens with that, because I do represent the AIS people who are the adjoining property owners to that hotel development, depending on what happens with that. Thank you.
All right, so we will, seeing as there's no one else approaching the podium, we'll move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the consent calendar. There are four items under the consent calendar. Item A is the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for the September 21st, 2022 public hearing. That hearing was held at 6 p.m. The other item under A is the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes for the September 27th, 2022 regular meeting at 7 p.m. Item B is the release of financial security provided for the post-construction stormwater management plan for 64 Lucy Avenue, S-2021-025. Item C is the release of the maintenance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan and stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Wastewater Treatment Plant relocation, plat 1273. And then item D is the approval of the October 11th, 2022 accounts payable in the amount of $297,656.95 and payroll in the amount of $314,557.39. Under the consent calendar, we can take all items together in one motion for approval or denial, or we can take each individual item up. And at this time, that is a decision left to the board. So at this time, I'll turn to my colleagues and entertain any motion.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent calendar items A, B, C, and D.
All right, thank you, Mr. Zamuda. Motion made by Mr. Zamuda to approve items A, B, C, and D under the consent calendar. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Is there any discussion or comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. And we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is new business. Under new business, the first item is A. It's the consideration of Ordinance 20... Before we get into item A under new business, let me turn this the mic over to our solicitor, Mr. Armstrong.
So I suspect why it's being turned over to me is if the board wanted to consider amending the agenda this evening, there was some discussion with respect to potentially appointing, engaging a special counsel to represent the township at the Luminal Crossing, Governor Crossing conditional use hearings coming up towards the end of October. If the board wanted to consider taking action on that item, it's not currently on the agenda, so at this point in time, it would be appropriate if the board wanted to consider a motion to formally amend the agenda to include such an agenda item.
All right. Based on Mr. Armstrong's statement, do we have a motion?
I'll offer a motion to amend this evening's agenda to add a new action item to the agenda. Is that the first motion?
It would be a motion to add an action, a new action item to the agenda, which would be to consider requesting proposals and considering engaging and hiring a special counsel to represent the township at that upcoming conditional use hearing.
Okay. So I will offer a motion to amend this evening's agenda, add a new item to the agenda, and that item would be to entertain the possibility of hiring a lawyer to represent the township in the conditional use hearing coming up at the end of this month.
And do we want to add that as a substantive agenda item after the last item, which is I?
You can do that. If you want to add that to the agenda at the very last, it would be J.
Right. Okay. So we'll do that procedurally. But okay, so motion was made by Mrs. Nutt to amend the agenda for that purpose, for considering a hiring special counsel for a conditional use hearing. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, motion is seconded by Mr. Zanuta. Is there any question or discussion on amending the agenda? Right, hearing none, all those in favor of amending the agenda, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. We will add this item at the end of new business, and then it will be noted as item J on the agenda. So moving back to then the agenda under new business, A is the consideration of Ordinance 2022-05. It's the authorization and incurrence of non-electoral debt not to exceed the maximum amount of $3 million for the purpose of purchasing fire apparatus, public works apparatus, and police vehicles. Mr. Crisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, at your last meeting, you did authorize the advertisement of this proposed ordinance that's before you this evening, as well as the issuance of a request for proposals for a line of credit or a fixed rate loan to be discussed at tonight's meeting. So enclosed in your packet tonight is a copy of the draft and proposed ordinance as 2022 number 5. This would formally authorize the incurrence of non-electoral debt in the maximum principal amount of $3 million for the purchase of fire apparatus, police and public works equipment and or vehicles. Again, this ordinance has been duly advertised and is in a position to be approved by the board this evening. Before I defer to Mr. Bradelli, Mr. Horsman, Mr. Brockman, they can go over the finer details of our request for proposals that went out. I'll just highlight it by saying that we received three separate proposals to the RFP, and I'll defer to them to kind of explain those intricacies, but they're in your packet tonight to drill down into, and I did send home this afternoon an updated PowerPoint that they're going to show this evening. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Bradelli to kind of walk you through the three proposals and ultimately what their recommendation will be to the township.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Crisman. Good introduction of that. We do have the PowerPoint up here, so I'll just briefly take you through really the highlights of the transaction, the structure that we talked about as being most advantageous for the township, the results of the three proposals that we received, and then what that looks like in terms of the debt service schedule and the cost to implement the transaction if you decided to proceed tonight. So real quickly, just on the highlights again, and we had spent some time talking about this, but I think it is important just to emphasize that we were recommending the drawdown line of credit really for the flexibility that it provides to the township in terms of when you draw the money to make these purchases, not only the first fire truck, but as well as anything and the other equipment that might be down the road. So setting this up as a drawdown basis gives us that flexibility because you're only paying interest on the portion of the loan that you draw down at that time. We did structure the proposal to permit an 18-month draw period, so you have that 18-month window from closing and during that period to do the draws in any amount. Prepayment flexibility, I think, is really important because we talked about hopefully pursuing gaming grant money that can come back in, and that money can be used to pay this debt down quickly. So that was a very important thing that we had in the proposal. And you'll see all of the proposals that we received provided that prepayment ability at any time. Doing something like this for this purpose has lower costs than if we were doing a long-term fixed-rate bond issue. So it's much more cost-effective. We can and did ask for fixed interest rates, which you'll see we received, so we can eliminate interest rate risk. And we didn't have to go through the credit rating process to implement this borrowing. So it certainly saves some time for your administration. Timeline, as you know, this got accelerated from the last couple of times that we've talked, really due to trying to get the discount on the new fire truck. So you authorized us to proceed back on September the 27th. The next day, we sent out the RFP to the banks, and that came back to us last week. We've evaluated those, had the recommendation for you tonight. If you approve the debt ordinance tonight, we'd be in a position to close the loan and have the funds available on November 11th. Okay? It's certainly hard to read up there, but hopefully you saw the version or you have it on screens.
How's that?
There you go. Thanks, Jeff. So these are the three different proposals that we received from S&T Bank, Juniata Valley Bank, and Traditions Bank. And you can see each one of them had various kind of scenarios that they presented, because we did kind of leave it open in terms of what we were looking for, just to see if anything creative came about or one rate was more attractive than the other. But what we have highlighted for you is what we certainly believe is the best option for the township. I reviewed these with Mr. Crispin last week, and I think he agreed with this, that we can lock in on the S&T proposal item D, or line D, a fixed rate of 4.3% for 10 years. And it has a cap rate after the 10 years expires at 6.5%. I think we're all very hopeful that this loan will be retired much before 10 years, and we wouldn't even go into that period where the rate is floating in basically years 11 through 15, but it does come with that cap rate of 6.5%. The funding, they can structure it as the 18-month drawdown that we were looking for, prepayable at any time, and their bank origination fee was in line with the others. So that's our recommendation. The other options are all there, but certainly in terms of what we had initially showed you, that really comes in, I think, as the most favorable for financing these potential projects and also for budgeting purposes for the township in terms of having a fixed rate proposal. So when we take that 4.3% rate and we plug it in and go to on the next page, this is the debt service schedule that we had looked at, I guess, a couple months ago, really to help the administration budget for what the impact would be of roughly drawing down the first million immediately for that first truck. And so here we project out what the interest expense is for 2023. And you can see that's about $43,000. next year, and then in 2024 would be the first principal payment along with the interest. So that's a payment of about $93,000 in 2024. And that's, again, just assuming that $1 million would be drawn down, basically right at settlement, since the township's having to make that payment, and we can take the proceeds of this transaction and reimburse the township's general fund for that. The next slide, max rate. We have to really produce this for Tim and Ryan in terms of what gets filed at the state, just showing if the entire loan was drawn down at the maximum rate, what that looks like. I don't think we'll ever see this scenario, but we just wanted to show you what that looks like. And then on the final page, we have the sources and uses of the funds. Oops. Thanks. You got it. And really the important line item there at the bottom is the reimbursement to the township for the fire truck, the 908-547. We would have that basically on the settlement sheet, so that on November the 11th, as soon as the loan closes, that money would be wired back to the township's general fund to reimburse the township. So overall, we're pleased with the results. I think it's a good proposal. It provides all the flexibility that we were hoping to have in this financing for kind of the various scenarios that are at play, from timing to money coming back in to eliminating interest rate risk. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Good. Questions for Luke? So we're not planning on spending $3 million, correct? This is... Our plan was to spend for the fire truck and some public works apparatus.
So the initial $3 million that we're proposing here, of that, $1 million is for the current truck that we're talking about tonight, that 908-547. There's a second piece of apparatus that's coming due probably in 23, still in that 18-month draw period. That's a, you know, estimating fire apparatus is always $1 million. That's what that second million is for. If the township should need the funds, we have that reserve $1 million to address capital concerns with public works and police. You know, we do have equipment that needs to be replaced. It'll be in the capital part of our budget for 2023. This could be a potential source of funding to allow that to happen.
And then our expectation is we would be applying for gaming grant money that we pay. Essentially, we'd be sort of prepaying this loan. We'd be paying in advance, obviously, with the schedule. So the idea is we'd use the gaming grant money to pay for it, and as much of it as it will, and then we'll
structure the debt service fund to accommodate, you know, these payments because of the timing of the gaming grant. And when funds are received, it's not going to be it's going to be a cash flow issue, so we'll end up paying out. But yes, we can prepay at any time. You know, hoping that as the gaming grants come into the township, it'll cover all of this cost moving forward.
And Chris, the reason that we're doing this right now is because we are able to lock in a lower price for the fire truck, correct? Because those prices were about to go up. And we're hoping that we'll have gaming grants that will kind of reimburse us for all of this. So it's saving us money that way.
Yes, that's correct. So there were high increases proposed beyond what our quoted price was for the fire truck for situations that are going on all across this country with supply chain issues. You know, the fire apparatus industry is no stranger to it. You know, you're seeing a lot of communities now buying this equipment in this current year, 2022. For us, we won't be taking delivery until closer to 25. You know, and that's all related to supply chain issues. So the engines inside of this apparatus, there's a proposed increase of like 12%. It really behooved us to kind of get out ahead of this. Our original timeline was April of next year to talk about this particular financing. It just made sense for us to move forward. Rates were uncertain because of the volatility interest rate market. I think we made the right move to go out and look at proposals. And as you're seeing here from what we're showing tonight, it makes a lot of sense for us to lock in at 4.3 for 10 years. And as Mr. Verdelli pointed out, we'll do our best to pay that off prior to.
And we've done this. We've funded fire apparatus before in the past over the years with gaming grant money. So we're very confident that that will be the source of the debt repayment funds. But so it does make sense. But I did want to point out, and it's consistent with what we've told folks after the last round of gaming money, which was over the next few years, be prepared that the money we are requesting for gaming funds from the county will primarily be used for these purposes. There won't be much money left over from the township's sort of sponsorship perspective for other matters. These are projects that benefit every resident in the township, and so we thought that was the right thing to do in terms of allocating those gaming grant monies. So, anybody else have any questions for Mr. Bedoni? If not, we can take a motion.
Tim and Ryan are available to review the ordinance that accepts the loan proposal. The other item is the reimbursement resolution, which just simply authorizes and puts in writing that you can reimburse the general fund with the proceeds of these loans. So there are two separate items as I see them on your agenda, but if there are any questions, Tim and Ryan can handle this.
Look, quick question. The document that's been handed out, is it the same thing that's in the email?
That's correct, yes.
There's nothing that's changed in this document.
Yeah. I'm happy to review the ordinance with the board if they'd like. Okay. I can keep it very brief, I promise. So good evening, everyone. The ordinance before
you... Excuse me. Your name, sir?
I'm sorry. It's Tim Horstman. I'm an attorney with McNeese, Wallace & Nurek, the Township's Bond Council. The ordinance that we prepared with your solicitor's review and input would authorize the issuance of the Township's General Obligation Notes series of 2022, and the maximum amount of $3 million. The proceeds would go to finance those projects that were just discussed. The Township would pledge security for the new, its full faith, credit, and taxing power, meaning that if it had to raise taxes to pay for the debt service, it could be forced to do that. The Township makes a number of tax covenants representations regarding the status of the note as tax exempt under federal tax law. And the Township would authorize the professionals of your team to go ahead and craft the necessary documents to proceed with closing on November 11th. That was a very high-level overview, but if there are any questions about the ordinance, I'm happy to take those. One final thing, it was mentioned that this was advertised. It was advertised on October 4th, last Tuesday, which satisfies the requirements of the Local Government Unit Debt Act, which is the state statute which governs the incurrence of debt by townships. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Any questions?
I'm trying more time to read this. I don't know that I have any questions. Okay. Yes.
May I make a motion, please?
Please do.
Please. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve Ordinance 2022-05, Authorization and Incurrence of Non-Electoral Debt Not to Exceed the Maximum Principal Amount of $3 million for the purpose of purchasing fire apparatus, public works, and police vehicles.
All right, motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion amongst the board? Questions? Any further questions? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Would you like me to go through the reimbursement resolution, item number B, on your agenda tonight?
You might. That would probably make sense since you're up at the podium.
Okay. Okay. So, resolution 2022-18. This is a resolution that's purely a requirement of the Internal Revenue Code. So, this resolution is basically a declaration of the township's intent to use money on hand that you have in your general fund to pay some of the costs of these projects before you issue this note, and then use a portion of the proceeds of the note to reimburse yourself, to pay yourself back. This is a requirement of the tax code. The tax code says that you can't do this without adopting this type of official intent. So we've crafted this resolution for your consideration tonight. And again, if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Mm-hmm. Are there any questions on this item? All right, is there a motion?
I will make a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve Resolution 2022, number 18, a resolution of the Board of Supervisors of the Township of Derry, Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, declaring its intent to reimburse its general fund for amounts paid therefrom for costs related to the purchase of fire trucks, police vehicles, and public works equipment for use by the township.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Is there any discussion or questions on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff.
Thank you, Supervisor.
That takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is item C. It's the consideration of the third time extension for the applicant to address conditions of approval for the preliminary, final, subdivision, and land development plan for Town Place Suites Hotel, plat 1328. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Board of Supervisors initially approved this plan on April 14th, 2020. The applicant had previously requested and been granted extensions until October 31st of 2021 and October 31st of this year to address the several conditions yet outstanding. The applicant, again by way of the legal counsel, is now requesting a third extension of time until February 28th of 2023 to address the remaining conditions of the July 27th, 2021 extension approval. I'm recommending that the board extends the approval of plat 1328 until February 28, 2023, subject to the following. That by February 28, 2023, the performance security in the amount of $362,458 is provided to guarantee the installation of required improvements, and that an agreement to provide financial security is signed. That the applicant provides calculations indicating that the fire hydrant flow rate satisfy the rates needed under the fire suppression rating schedule as published by the Insurance Service Office in Newark, New York, or the National Fire Prevention Association standard, which applies to the building type being considered. And that the plan is signed by Bear Creek Hershey Hotel 2, LLC. Also then that the stormwater best management practices operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the property consolidation deed referencing the stormwater best management practices operation and maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and finally that the agreement regarding the operation and maintenance program for the auto stacker spaces, including information related to the anticipated method of loading and unloading the auto stackers, is recorded concurrently with the plan. That completes my report.
So we do have someone here representing the applicant. But are there any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this item before we hear from the applicant?
I've got one. The applicant has made some attempt to meet some of the requirements, so some of them have kind of dropped off.
They have addressed. Is what is left. That's correct. That's
okay.
Correct.
That's my
only
question.
So, who's representing the applicant here? Please come forward.
Good evening, sir. Dave Getz from Whistwinger and Wider in Harrisburg, representing the developer.
Excellent.
Happy to answer any questions you have. I think Mr. Emmerich pretty much explained things. Several of the documents that need to be recorded are in the hands of the township. We just can't record them until we record the plan. The plan has to go on record first, and then the various other documents will have to go after that, because they all then put the plan reference recording number on them. The documents are in the hands of the township. It's just that what's holding us up is really following the financial security, and that's kind of the last thing. We are well on our way to doing that. I said in my letter that now finally appears that COVID is moving past the hospitality industry, although supply chain is certainly an issue. But we are confident that we're moving forward here. And rather than asking for a 30-day extension or 60 days, we just put it out several months. The intention is to get this plan recorded and begin work this fall. We have a commitment letter from the lender, so we're well on our way. It's just that I'm not sure we're going to make October 31st. And this is your last meeting before that, so it's just easier to come and do that rather than scrambling and tax the township staff and us and all trying to race the finish line.
Yeah, and that was precisely what I was going to ask you, was some sort of a timeline, some assurance to give, whatever assurance you could give us that there was activity occurring and that you needed the extension to allow for that, whatever the activity was, but to get a sense for, you know, what we wanted to avoid was, quite frankly, just another extension and nothing, at least visibly for us, nothing would happen between now and February. It seems like a long time for these parcels to be again sitting there. But you're telling us now that it's possible even before the end of this year you can be...
The intention is to take the existing houses down before the end of the year. We had intended to do that earlier this year, and the township solicitor and Mr. Everett determined that because it was all part of the settlement agreement, the plan had to go on record first, and that's fine, that we're happy to do that, and we're... Just a couple weeks ago, I just got back from vacation, but Chris Ford left vacation, they said, do you know a demolition contractor? So I know that we're closing in on things, and I expect to, like I said, that the plan is to have the buildings down before the end of the year.
And then when would you anticipate breaking ground on the new project itself?
Presuming that everything works, we have a commitment letter from our lender. That commitment letter will want us to build quickly. Carefully, with very careful consideration of Mr. Chris Plant's property, because there is a certain amount of time on those loan documents that gives you for construction, where there's an interest factor, and then it begins to amortize. I haven't seen the documents to know what that time frame is, but it's generally in a year and a half type area with construction like this. So, I wish I could give you an exact timeline, but. Well, I can tell you that that's where we are right now, that things are closing in, and people are working on, in fact, as of yesterday, we're working on getting the fire flow analysis to the township to review, and I spoke with my client this morning, and they're working on lining up the letter of credit, which is a separate facility than the one, and that's very close.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions?
Yes. I'll be frank with you. I'm dubious about the grain of this. It's been 2 years. Granted, we had COVID, but a lot of these conditions should have been met a while ago. Additionally, you don't have a demo permit yet. Am I correct in that?
We applied for a demo permit. We're told we couldn't have one until the plan was recorded.
Right. The plan is in Chuck's hand right now.
The plan is in Chuck's hands. It has to be signed by my client. But the plan's in Chuck's hands. The three documents that need to be recorded are all signed and in his hands. So, and we've supplied the township with the CAD files in a digital CD. Really what's left to be done is the fire flow analysis and the post defense security. So we've met the other conditions, except the letter said we have to record these things. We can't record them to record the plan, but they're in the hands of the township signed.
Okay, Chuck, are you working on these, I assume?
There's nothing I can do till the last bits of information come in.
And those are going to be provided to him?
When we post the financial security and plan ready to be reported, then everything starts rolling from there.
This would be the last consideration I give personally for a third extension. After this, I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know that I would agree to a fourth extension.
Thank you for the information.
Can I ask that the sold sign be removed from the property?
It's gone.
It's gone.
As of this afternoon?
I contacted the listing agent over the weekend and asked him to remove it. It is gone.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Right, if not, we can entertain them up. Before we take a motion, Mr. Chris, did you ask for a little time for public comment? We'll grant you 2 minutes of public comment time if that's what you I understood you correctly in the beginning. I'm here representing AIS, which is the adjoining property owner on the eastern side. Their real estate holding company is Brayson Services, which owns the property. I would just point out to this board that when this project was initially proposed, we were upset by the fact that the building comes out to the 5-foot side yard setback, which is allowed by the zoning. I don't think it should be, but it is. It's in the zoning. Such that they're proposing to build a 60-foot tall, 5-story, 46,000 square foot building, 5 foot from up the property line. Our property is next door and only setbacks 10 feet. So between the two buildings, you only have a total of 15 feet. Realistically, I don't understand how they ever will be able to build this building without trespassing on our property. You can't get diggers, bulldozers, cranes, even scaffolding. Scaffolding is 5 foot wide, OSHA scaffolding. You put up on the side of a building with the crossbucks and what have you. It's 5 foot wide. You can't do this without trespassing on and causing problems to our property. Secondly, we made it clear to the developer before they closed and bought the property that we would not, in no way consider giving them a construction access easement. They were told before they even bought the property that we would not entertain that under any circumstances, and that still holds. So I'm not exactly sure how they're going to build this without causing damage to our property. We have already had the property completely done by Gingst Engineering, so much so that we've had them videography. We actually went in and did a complete top-to-bottom video diary of the building so that when the cracks start to appear, we have a baseline to show what's going to happen. We have a signed engineering report from Yingst Engineering to reasonable degree of engineering certainty that there will be damage to our building. So I don't know how all this is going to be handled, but that's where it stands with regard to my people. We also will most likely, because of these issues, be taking an appeal of any building permit which is issued. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? I open it up for Mr. Chris. At his request, but if there's anybody else that would like to offer any comment, you're welcome to come forward. Otherwise, we will entertain a motion at this time. All right, I will go ahead and make a motion that we authorize the third extension, the third time extension for the applicant to address the condition of approval for the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Town Place Suites Hotel, Lots 1328. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion made by the chair, seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Is there any further discussion or questions?
And that is until February 28, 2023.
Correct. Any other questions or comments?
I hope we don't see you guys again.
All those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for your time. This will take us to item D, the preliminary final land development plan for the Penn State University College of Medicine Comparative Medicine Facility Expansion, Plot 1360. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to first use Google Earth to kind of orient people where this project's located. It's located in the area of Lifeline Hangar. It's over in the animal facilities in this area of the campus.
Hey, Chuck, hold on a sec. Can you pull this down so we can see? Please.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand where we are? This is Bullfrog Valley Road, so it's on the western side of the campus. So PLET 1360 represents the expansion of the comparative medical facility located on the main campus. The expansion is taking place in two steps, or two phases. The first phase, which has been completed, was the demolition of the existing kennels and installation of two research trailers. The second phase is to expand the building. Let me just back up one second. So the first phase was done in this area, and because these trailers did not meet our land development requirement for additional square footage, and land development plan was not required. Phase two is adding to the existing building approximately 10,000 square feet of floor area. The project will not generate any additional traffic and no new employees will be added. That's about as exciting as this plan gets. So they've asked for a series of waivers. They've asked to be able to depict the entire plans or the entire site at a scale smaller than 1 inch equals 50 feet. They've asked to not show existing features within 200 feet, which is a preliminary plan requirement, and within 50 feet of the tract. They've asked for a waiver from showing the various sensitive environmental areas outside of the project's limit of disturbance. In each case, the Planning Commission and staff recommend that the waivers be granted. They've asked for waivers regarding showing the location of known sinkholes, and again, Planning Commission and staff have recommended that that waiver be granted. They've asked for waivers showing profiles of existing unaffected sanitary sewer, storm sewer, water mains, gas mains, and again, Planning Commission and staff recommended those waivers be granted for all the unaffected facilities. They've asked for a waiver from showing topographic land contours within 200 feet and 50 feet, being the preliminary and final plan citations. They've asked for waivers from providing the purpose of existing right-of-ways and easements, which were documented on prior plans. And they've asked for waivers regarding providing a statement from the utilities indicating conditions attached to each of the easements and right-of-ways. And in each of those cases, the Planning Commission and staff recommended that the waivers be granted. I'm recommending approval of PLAT 1360 conditioned upon the following items being satisfactorily addressed: that the applicant reimburse the township for all costs incurred in the review of the plan no later than November 25th of 22, and that the applicant continue to satisfy any other outstanding professional consultant invoices. That the following items happen by April 11th, 2023, that the applicant provide financial security in the amount of $135,890 to guarantee the completion of the proposed improvements, and also that they agree to and execute the development financial security agreement, that the applicant add section 185-12.D.3.A.39 to the requested modifications of the requirements shown on the first sheet of the plan, that the applicant comply with or otherwise satisfy the comments of the Township Engineer's review letter dated December 3rd, 2022, that the applicant comply with or otherwise satisfy the comments in DTMA's review letter dated October 5th, 2022, that the applicant provide the CD of a DXF file or AutoCAD file to the Township, that the applicant provide the completed BMP inventory form, that the applicant provide two originals of the signed and notarized development and financial security agreement, that the applicant agree to, execute, and have notarized two originals of a stormwater operation maintenance agreement and access easement, and finally, by April 11th, 2023, that the applicant shall agree to and execute a property declaration referencing the stormwater operation maintenance agreement and access easement. And the final four items of condition of approval is that the applicant shall comply with all outside agency requirements, that the applicant record the development and financial security agreement or a memorandum of the same concurrently with the plan, that the applicant record the stormwater operation maintenance agreement and access easement concurrently with the plan, and that the applicant record the property declaration referencing the stormwater operation maintenance agreement and access easement concurrently with the plan. I'm also recommending that the waivers be granted as outlined in my staff comments.
Hi, Dave Lopaco from the Environmental Engineers. Just in case anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer any real quick.
You just have to hold on 1 second here. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Mr. Emmerich specifically on this item? All right, and then just, you just have to, I didn't catch what you said.
Dave Lopaco, Ruther Baum, we're the consulting firm representing the Hershey Medical College of Medicine. And I just, if you have any questions other than what Mr. Emmerich had expressed, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want a confirmation. When I was reading through the agenda item, you're not going to have any additional employees there. There's not going to be any additional traffic.
Right. No additional traffic, no additional employees. It's primarily a renovation project. The site the building hasn't really been renovated in quite some time, so this is a large renovation of the building with the 10,000 square foot additions.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So this is new 10,000 square feet?
Yes. Well, a portion of it is. If you look at the bigger addition, which is the 9,960, there is a portion of building that's being removed and some kennels that were in that area. So that's kind of an addition with, you know, taking out a portion of it and then building on a portion of it. But yes, that one is.
My comment is just for Mr. Christman in regards to the additional square footage. That's something that will be added into the calculations for the pilot payment going forward once this space is finished.
I would imagine that if that square footage is to be included, we would have to amend the agreement, much like we did 2 years ago with a separate agreement that came through the board, to include this space once it's finally approved.
Right. Overall, there's actually a decrease in overall square footage because we did demo the kennels that were on the side of the building. So from an impervious coverage standpoint, there actually is a slight decrease with the additions because we did the demo on the existing kennels that were in place.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much for attending. Appreciate that. All right, we can entertain a motion at this time. I think we have entertained two motions related to this item.
I'll offer the first motion that the waivers are granted from the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance as notated in items A through J in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final land development plan for Penn State University College of Medicine Comparative Medicine Facility Expansion, Plat 1360.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt, seconded by Mr. Zanuta. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. There is a companion motion. Do we have that motion?
I'll offer the motion. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Supervisor Prado. Go ahead.
I'll take the next one. That
the preliminary final land development plan for Penn State University College of Medicine Comparative Medicine Facility Expansion Plat 1460 is approved, subject to compliance with items A through N in the Assistant Department Head Recommendation section of this agenda item.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Again, any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on our agenda, and I apologize in advance, this item in retrospect should have been the first item on our agenda. Shouldn't have taken us an hour to get to this point, especially since this is a very nice day, a very positive and uplifting day. Those are always nice things. So the item is the consideration, item E is the consideration of a proclamation naming the month of October Italian-American Heritage Month in the Township of Derry. Do Did you want me to turn this over to you, Mr. Crispin, or can, I can take it? Okay, so in the audience tonight is our illustrious Italian-American tax collector, Mr. Filetti. So, Mr. Filetti, would you please stand up, sir? You just have to stand, Lou. That's all. I just need you to stand. Okay, good. So, at Mr. Filetti, at his request and suggestion, since October is Italian-American Heritage Month across the country, and because Italian-Americans have played an instrumental role in the development of this community for over 100 years, and in light of the active presence of our Italian-American Lodge here in Hershey, and all the so many people in this community are either members of the Italian-American Lodge or frequent the Italian-American Lodge, it's become a very a well-known fixture in our community, and we're very proud of that. And so, in recognition of this being Italian-American Heritage Month nationally, we, the Board of Supervisors, are prepared to issue a proclamation tonight recognizing the month of October as Italian-American Heritage Month in Derry Township. So I know from, I can just tell by that crowd, because I know a couple of people there, I know Mr. Marcucci and Mr. Tulli and what?
George Bikini.
I was going to ask if the whole group could sort of come forward, because I'm going to read the proclamation and then we'll just take a picture, and the proclamation then will be all of yours to take back to the lodge. So whoever would like to come forward on behalf of our Italian-American community and the Italian Lodge, please do. I'd just like you to stand right up in front of these chairs, which are on my left. Wayne, you can just stand right in front of those chairs, yeah. And why don't the three of you introduce yourselves to the board? Just first name and last name.
I'm Wayne Tooley. I'm the president of the Hershey Italian Lodge. And
John Marcucci.
He's going to be our vice president this coming year. And George Bikini.
I've been on the board for 18 years, and I joined at the old club when it was on Duke Street in 1957. I've been a member ever since.
That's wonderful. And I mean, the mere fact that Mr. Marcucci is soon going to be elevated to the role of vice president speaks volumes for our voters at the Italian American Lodge. Nevertheless, I am going to read portions, excerpts of the proclamation. So, whereas in recognition of National Italian American Heritage Month and the positive impact of the Italian community of Derry Township, and whereas the Italian American Lodge, or the Hershey Italian Lodge, as it's known commercially, was chartered on September 17, 1920, in Derry Township's Swatara Station by local Italian immigrants to offer assistance and support to fellow Italian families in need. It is the first and only ethnic organization to have ever existed in Derry Township. And whereas those meetings were first held in a basement of a home at the corner of Duke Street and Swatara Avenue, in 1923, the Society purchased its own location on Duke Street, and in 1958, built a new facility on Hillcrest Road, its home today. Whereas while experiencing hardship and discrimination, the Italian community was instrumental in the success of our township. From its hard work in the stone quarries, its significant involvement in the local labor movement, which improved the lives of factory workers, to its brave service in the World War II effort to help secure victory for this country and save the world. With nearly 4,000 members, the Hershey Italian Lodge remains a major presence in our community and is a reminder of our township's important Italian heritage and the contributions by the Italian-American families, and continues to provide an important social center and a friendly environment indicative of the Italian culture, inclusive of all ethnic backgrounds, which exists in Derry Township today. Notably, the Hershey Italian Lodge owns the marble Italian American War Memorial on West Chocolate Avenue, dedicated in 1957, and this year the lodge held its 65th consecutive memorial ceremony at the memorial. And we thank you all for that. So, therefore, I, E. Christopher Abruzzo, The chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Township of Derry, recognized Italian-American Heritage Month and the positive impact of the Italian community of Derry Township in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I hereunto set my hand and caused the great seal of the Township of Derry to be affixed at the Township of the Derry Municipal Building here in Hershey, Pennsylvania, October 11th, 2022. So thank you, gentlemen. I'm going to come down and hand you the proclamation. And we can applaud.
That's a very, very nice proclamation, and we'll find a place of honor to have it at the Italian lunch.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dooley. We would appreciate that because it's an honor. All of the lodge and the members do for the community is appreciated, and it's wonderful to have you here. As you might recognize from some of those names up there with the vowels at the end, we're proud that we have Italian representation on the board, and this little guy over there, Mr. Piccolo, is sneaking in here too. We're very proud of our Italian members. So, congratulations. This is for you and the members of the lodge. October is Italian American Heritage Month at Hershey as well. So would you guys come over here and we'll take a picture?
Jeez. Rebel up, man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, gentlemen. And thank you, Mr. Pilate, for bringing this matter to our attention.
Chris and all the supervisors and all the township, thanks a lot. I know it means a lot to, especially the older members of the club. Absolutely. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Bottom of my heart. Thanks.
Thanks, Luke. Everybody.
Chris, do they need to make a motion?
Oh. I'll make a motion.
I was just going to say, so now,
we'll
need a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the proclamation naming the month of October Italian American Heritage Month in the Township of Derry.
Thank you, Mr. Corrado. Is there a second? I would be happy to second that motion. Is there any discussion or questions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously, and I thank everyone on the board for their support of the proclamation. And for those here present tonight, thank you for your support as well. The next item on the agenda is F. It's the authorization to advertise amending the Code of Ordinances of the Township of Derry at Chapter 210, Vehicles and Traffic, Section 210-40, Parking of Trucks, Buses, and Certain Other Vehicles Prohibited in Certain Locations, by establishing restrictions on the parking of vehicles other than a passenger car and or light truck at certain locations in the township. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Police Department and other township departments have fielded several complaints over the last year or more regarding certain vehicles parking along residential streets in the Briardale area of Derry Township. Some of these vehicles are commercial vehicles, including but not limited to truck, tractor, and trailer combinations. Some of these vehicles, when parked along the street, may remain running and sometimes have refrigeration units that remain running as well. This has created a quality of life issue for residents in the area. The noise of the running engines can happen at all hours and has disturbed the peace of the nearby residents. Exhaust fumes from the running engines have also become an issue, and on at least one occasion were taken in by the HVAC system of a nearby house, setting off the carbon monoxide alarm in the house that prompted the response from the fire company in that case. These large vehicles have also created sight distance issues and passage issues for other motorists and pedestrians driving or walking in the area. So by modifying this ordinance to include these certain streets in Briardale area. We're hoping to curb the parking of these commercial vehicles in particular. There would be some cost in the posting of regulations along certain streets. I think I have a cost range in there from just under $4,000 to just under $8,000 for signs and posts to be erected on the streets in question. I would be remiss, too, if I didn't acknowledge the help of Chuck Emmerich and Pat Armstrong in developing the changes to this ordinance so we can try to alleviate some of these quality of life issues in the area.
So, Chief, do we know, you know, why these tractor trailers or these kinds of vehicles are parking there or where they're from? We may not know why they're parking there.
I mean, are they there from? Sometimes it's hard to tell. They may be owned by a certain company, and we're not familiar with where the driver is at the time when they park these vehicles. They may be at a nearby residence. They may be at a nearby apartment in the Briarcrest area. We're not quite sure. But it is creating an issue to the point where we've fielded several complaints on it. Hopefully, we'll alleviate that situation in that area. I'm hoping that it doesn't spread it out even further and we have to come back to the drawing table. That's always a possibility, but it seemed that it was just concentrated on certain streets in this area that we needed to address.
It makes sense to me. I thought the same thing that, you know, if it's a truck driver that's visiting somebody in those apartments or nearby resident, single family homes, maybe that's the only place they can find to park the vehicle, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily suitable to have vehicles like that parked on the residential streets. So the question would be then, where do they go next? I'm thinking like the parking lot in front of Staples, someplace like that, but I mean, in terms of where they will just on their own decide to park and walk, but it could be anywhere, so we'll have to be vigilant and make sure. You know, as they say, we don't take one person's stomach ache and make it somebody else's headache. So, anybody else have any questions for the chief on this item? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion that this board authorizes the advertisement for amending the code of ordinances of the Township of Cary, Chapter 210, Vehicles and Traffic, Section 210, Attached 40, parking of trucks, buses, and certain other vehicles prohibited in certain locations by establishing restrictions on the parking of vehicles other than the passenger and or light truck at certain locations in the Township.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
The next item is G. It's the authorization for the police department to proceed in the application for grant monies through the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, specifically the Local Law Enforcement Support Grant Program. Chief.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. This grant funding program has been opened by the Office of Justice Programs of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency for local law enforcement entities as well as county agencies to apply for competitive grant monies to fund implementation of information technology improvements, purchase or upgrade equipment, cover non-traditional law enforcement personnel costs, support retention and recruitment efforts, and provide necessary training and cover-related expenses. The Dairy Township Police Department would like to apply for grant funding from PCCD in a few of these categories listed above. There is no requirement for the municipality to match any of the funds received through the grant.
Questions from the chief on this item?
Chief Warner. If you were to get some of these grants, would they go to fund things that are already in the works or new programs?
So on the technology side, we're looking at some digital forensic equipment. We do not have that in our property. That would be something new. But we've seen an ever-increasing amount of forensics downloads that we need to perform, and that equipment would definitely come in handy for those type of activities. The other one would be an expanded program, and that would be for automatic license plate readers. We currently do have one mobile unit and one unit that's going to be a fixed unit that we were able to purchase and have been using to some great success. We would expand that to get some more of those units, the mobile units for the cars. So that would actually expand that program. And then we were also looking at applying for some monies as far as retention pay for some of our non-sworn personnel. The county is applying on behalf of all the sworn personnel in the county for what the Attorney General called Hero Pay, and that is also through this grant. So the county is taking care of all the sworn personnel. We are, as a municipality, we're trying to include our non-sworn personnel into that. So those are kind of the three things that we're looking at.
Any other questions for the chief? All right, is there a motion?
I'll authorize to give the police department to proceed in an application for grant monies through the PCCD, specifically the law enforcement support grant program.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is item H. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for Hershey Park Wildcat Modifications, S-2022-024. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by Hershey Entertainment and Resorts engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $192,202 is to be provided, which HG&R did in the form of a PNC Bank letter of credit and has entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee the completion of the improvements. Recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the financial security in the amount of $192,202 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company for the stormwater management plan for Hershey Park Wildcat Modification, S-2022-024.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich? If none, is there a motion? I'll go ahead and make a motion that Board of Supervisors accepts financial security in the amount of $192,202 in the form of PNC Bank Letter of Credit, number 181-369-35-00-000, and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts for the stormwater management plan for Hershey Park Wildcat Modifications, S-2022-024. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zavuda. Any questions or discussion? If not, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The second to last item of new business is I, the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 402 Roseland Drive, S-2021-006. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This security is for the construction of a new single-family dwelling and driveway. The property owners are Brian and Mandy Whaler. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $20,775 is to be provided. The applicants have provided the security in the form of cash and have entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee completion of improvements. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the cash financial security in the amount of $20,775 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security between Brian and Mandy Whaler and the Township for the Stormwater Management Plan for 402 Roseland Drive, S-2021-006.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Any questions for Mr. Emmerich? All right, if not, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that this board accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $20,775 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security between Brian M. and Mandy Lee Weller and the Township for the Stormwater Management Plan for 402 Roseland Drive, Sierra, TAC 2021-006.
Motion made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Well, the last item, which is J, is the item that we amended to the agenda tonight. Consideration to authorize the township manager to
not advertise, but to seek proposals from special counsel to participate and attend the hearings of the Windmill Crossing conditional use application on behalf of the township. My office, as the board is aware, is sitting with the board, your quasi-judicial board, hearing the application. The MPC does allow for the Board of Supervisors to appoint or engage special counsel to sit, participate in the hearing, and represent the township's interests at that hearing. And that's what is before you for consideration. You don't have an actual attorney at this point to consider. What this motion is doing, or what it would do, would authorize either my office or Chris's office or both to get some proposals for you to consider and appoint special counsel to sit for the township to participate in the hearing at the next hearing. And with the understanding that the hearing is coming up 2 Mondays from now. So in the event that you do get some proposals and if the board is ready to pull the trigger on appointing someone, I would probably suggest, and I'll talk to Chris to make sure it'll work out right, maybe schedule and advertise a very quick special meeting immediately before your first hearing on that, whatever Monday that is it the 24th, mm-hmm. October 24th? In the event you're in a place at that point after reviewing some proposals, assuming we get some.
Well, it's a professional service, so it doesn't have to be bid out, correct? Why are we seeking proposals? Why wouldn't we just authorize you to identify and contact?
Yeah, what I'll do is
what solicitors that could serve as special counsel is hearing them, and in essence, be authorizing the town. Do we need a special meeting to actually do it, or authorizing?
If you're going, yes, you'll need to appoint them at a meeting. That's why it can be a very short special meeting immediately before the public hearing. I said proposal. What I'll probably do is I've done this before for you, I believe, is just reach out to a few land use attorneys that I'm familiar with, and if you or Chris have anyone that you'd like to also just get, you sometimes it's a very quick correspondence with their rates, and someone will put a little packet together for you to consider.
Okay. Do we have enough time to come up to speed? Because
it's
not a small case.
Understood. Yeah, we'll make that, assuming they're interested. With the understanding that at the month, I'm not, Peter Nelson from my office is sitting on the board at these hearings. It's my understanding that no testimony has been presented yet. So that first hearing that Monday night could primarily be entirely testimony from the applicant and the applicant's witnesses. So I don't know how much evidence we've gotten other than the actual application. So at this point, there's not a lot of testimony for them to go through. It's simply the application, the documents associated with the application.
Is
Peter made his decision on who to accept as applicants.
You mean party status?
Party status.
I have not talked to Peter, and that will be before the board. That will be the board next year.
So
Peter will give you guidance.
Okay, that will be the first thing we do.
Peter will give you guidance, but ultimately, it's the board.
All right, so why don't you, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, but I want to word it properly so that it's effective, right? So we make a motion that it gets us what we want. So I'm going to make a motion that we authorize our solicitor, Mr. Armstrong, to select or recommend for selection and appointment a solicitor to represent the township's interests in the Governor's Crossing conditional use hearings at the end of the month.
Correct.
That motion is sufficient. And with the understanding, not part of the motion, but we'll have to have a special meeting immediately preceding the first hearing to do the appointment.
Correct.
Okay, we'll schedule that meeting for 5:30 p.m. just so you're aware. And your hearing starts at 6.
Yeah.
Fine. That's good. All right, so that's the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Now, are there any questions about the motion or what we're expecting?
So you don't want the meeting as part of the motion? That should be separate.
You don't want that in there? Yeah, I don't think that's
part
of the motion. That's just logistically, that's how we'll handle the appointment.
Okay.
Okay. No questions? If not, all right, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. So, thank you, everybody.
I do have a very brief executive session to discuss legal matters following.
Okay. All right, so we'll now get to the next item, which is supervisor board or committee reports. We'll start with Mr. Zamuda and work our way across. So, Mr. Zamuda, supervisor or board committee reports.
Believe it or not, I have absolutely nothing.
Mr. Corrado.
I also have none.
No report this evening.
Mr. White.
Let's make it sweet.
I will make it sweet. I also have no report. But thank you. The next item then is departmental reports. We'll start with the chief. Police department.
I have nothing this evening.
Chief. Mr. Sassaman.
To slow the train down just a little. So we have a couple things. This is one of the busiest months for the fire department because it happens to be the 100th anniversary of Fire Prevention Week this week. That being said, it turns into more like Fire Prevention Month for us. And that being said, we'll see a little more than 1,500 either students and or adult residents for fire prevention related talks and so forth. On top of that, we covered the antique oil for the 4 days and approved fully staffed at on site for them. And for the month of September, we had 69 calls.
And how was your function on October? I want to say it was the. I was out. I don't remember the date. It was Monday. Was that the 6th?
Oh, was that for the company's picnic?
Yes.
It was very nice. I was only there briefly. I didn't get to stay as long as I wanted to. I had some other commitments I had to go to. It was very nice.
Yeah, that was, I think there were a number of us that were otherwise conflicted with work obligations and would love to have attended. So please make sure you keep us on the invite list for next year.
You are always welcome.
Yeah, we'd like to be there. It sounded like a really enjoyable time. Mr. Piccolo, Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick thing. It's leaf season, so our leaf trucks are out. We have two leaf trucks out because it's not heavy right now. So we'll be doing that into December. No sticks or garden waste or anything like that, just leaves. That's all I have.
That's good news, I guess. That's good news, and thank you for the update.
Bob, is your arrest schedule posted
on the website? I don't know for sure if it is or not. I can check. It is.
And we want to make sure that's, Bob, I'm sure you do, but Becky's not here tonight, but make sure that's in like the E. I honestly think most of the things, each department head every week should probably have at least one or two things in that email news blast that goes out at a minimum.
And this would be perfect just because I do know people see that. The website is static, right? You've got to go to the website, or as opposed to the people that get their emails, it's coming to their phones or computers. So.
Yeah, I know we did have some information on the leaf trucks being out with, you know, things to put in there and everything else. But we'll get more information in there.
You're right, because it hasn't started. Leaves haven't started falling heavily yet, but they will.
Yes.
In the next 30 days or so.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the library. Allison was not here for the good news that I think was shared at the last meeting, but would you share that with me?
I got married on Saturday.
So are we...
Yeah. So in November, I will be changing my name to Allison Jacobine.
Very good. Okay, so you make sure that we have that. I don't want to make that mistake in November. Once you made the official name change.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So what do you have for us tonight besides good news?
hopefully more good news. On October 19th, the library is closing early at 5 p.m., and that's to clear the way for Halloween parade. And then on October 22nd, we have our annual edible book contest, where we have three categories you can compete in. Patron's choice for 16 and over, patron's choice for 15 and under, and then the Friends Grand Prize. It is also the same day that you can come to the library to see an 8-foot Triceratops skull as part of the All-American Dinosaur Show. I am very excited about that.
Really cool. Thank you, Allison. Zach, Parks and Rec.
Yes, Allison said the Hershey Halloween Parade will be next Wednesday, the 19th at 7 o'clock. So our facility will also close at 5 that day for staging, to allow for staging at the community center. Registration is currently open and will remain open until noon on the 19th. And also just like to take the opportunity to thank the Friends of Parks and Recreation, Hershey Federal Credit Union, and the Hershey Company for their support again this year.
And Zach, I'm not jinxing it because I have both fingers crossed, so I'm not jinxing this. But what's the rain date for that?
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine?
Yep, that's okay. Yep. Unless it's like a dry, just torrential, then perhaps we'll look at another date. But as far as like our PennDOT permits for the parade, we just have listed the 19th.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much. Township Engineer, Mr. Banana.
Yes, thank you. I want to make the board aware that we're working with DTMA and some of the township staff to prepare for an EPA audit that's coming in for looking at their MS4 program and how they're complying with the permit and the EPA regulations. So we've done this for a few other municipal clients in the past and helping DTMA go through that. That's going to be next Wednesday.
The 19th as well.
The 19th. That's right. 19th. Just awareness.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Community development, Mr. Emmerich.
I'm surprised Rick let this one go by. Chucktoberfest is this Saturday. See you downtown.
To you.
Very
since
good.
You have so little to report.
That's all I have.
I saw something about that and I was in someone's report and I wondered, so it's Saturday and what's the time, Chuck?
It's 11 to 6. 11 a.m. to 6.
I will make a point to stop by and see the nice things down there. And last year it was the only time I was there, and it looked like a great event. We had a lot of people in attendance, so obviously a popular event in downtown Hershey.
It's about twice the size this year.
Oh wow.
We have some big bands too coming in. Three big bands. So
great. That's great. Thank you for that. Mr. Christman.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a couple of items for the board. Just to bring to your attention, at the last meeting, you did request that I reach out to the entities regarding the underpass inspection. I'm happy to report that both HE&R and the Hershey Company will be reimbursing the township for those expenses for the underpasses. And if you recall, the board approved it was like a $6,000 expenditure. So we will invoice them once the inspections are complete, and we'll recoup our funds. Just to remind the board, you just approved this evening a special meeting for Monday, October 24th at 5:30 p.m. We will get that advertised for the specific purpose of appointing special counsel. And in the meantime, we'll work to get, Pat and I work to get information to you to get something to at least consider in 2 weeks. And lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't say I'm glad to see Bob Piccolo here at the meeting. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
I don't want to know more about that, but I'll ask you afterwards why you'd be remiss if you didn't see Bob here. But I always think it's, we're upgrading when Bob is here. don't tell Tom I said that.
It'll make it a sign. Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, that will conclude departmental reports. This is the last visit to public comment session, so we'll open the floor back up on the motion to address the board. This is the time to please come forward, and we'll observe the same rules as before. All right, seeing as no one has come forward, we can entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zaluda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.